May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
When I was in Orlando for 17 years, it seemed like, actually just 15 days, in between House of Bishops and Patriarchs Council, I went to Jacksonville to a conference, and Shelby and Donna were there. We missed the first night, but we were there the rest of it, which is really good, but from everything everybody told me, the first night was like awesome. And one of the things that Donna and Shelby said to me is that he said so many things that you've been saying recently, and that's always an encouragement. This was Dutch Sheets. And so I finally got to listen to it today. It's a long sort of message, but in my just prayer time, God just said, I want you to hear this word. And I was so blessed. It was so stunning how good it was, but also just the words he was using that were the same words that God's put in my heart to pray. And one of the things he talked about, then he mentioned it over and over again through his sermon for CTKers, I'll talk about this much more on Sunday, I think, at some point this week. And when I was in Orlando, because Olivia and I are sharing a room, I don't really have a time to get with the Lord like I do here. Because when I pray and I'm with the Lord, I'm loud and it's very personal, it's real. But one night, she had fallen asleep. I just hung out with the Word. And the Lord began to speak to me about the word great. And he had me look it up. And I discovered that word, there are many times in the word, scripture, the word great is the word mega. And Dutch talked about that word mega, which just fascinated me that he had said that. He saw this word and what it meant and about mega power and mega grace. There's even a place that talks about mega faith, which according to scripture is just mustard seed. And so I want to share a little bit of word to you that follows up on what I saw last Friday that I shared. And this is in Luke chapter 1. See, one of the things that God wants us to understand is that he has a sequence that he honors. Sometimes that sequence kind of gets weird. It doesn't always fit for particular purposes and reasons that God will do stuff. But in general, this is the sequence. And that God's not really going to honor a sustainable revival in a person's life or in a geographical area or a church unless righteousness comes first. And don't let righteousness be a scary word. What I've told you before is that righteousness is just truth walking. Just doing the right thing according to God. It says this in Luke chapter 1 about Zacharias and Elizabeth. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments, they were good Jews, and the requirements of the Lord. That's righteousness. Is that you're just obeying whatever the requirements of God are in terms of your life. Of course, what's in Scripture, that's obvious, but there are also just things the Holy Spirit leads you to do, that you're just walking in obedience to the things that God requires of you. That's righteousness. And to the point where it says over in verse 17, we mentioned last week, and is he, speaking of John the Baptist, the offspring that's going to come, will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's why real revival that's sustainable always has a foundation of repentance. Is that you're just aligning your heart. You're adjusting yourself to him. And what he says is right. Not what we want to argue with him about what's right, but what he says. And to the point that we have the attitude of the righteous, that we're even serious about our attitudes. Because it says, this verse I read to you earlier, they were both righteous in the sight of God. So that's been one of my prayers, and I've prayed a lot lately. God, I want to be righteous in your sight. And though I may look righteous on the outside, like I'm walking according to your requirements of what's right and what's wrong, you know if I got stuff going on in my attitude. And so I want my righteousness to go there, that deep. I want to walk in righteousness in your sight, because he says when people have the attitude of righteousness, he says, then they prepare the way of the Lord. And revival is all about the Lord Jesus coming. Again, I prayed this morning in Psalm 68, verse 8, it says, and the heavens drop at the presence of God. And revival is when the heavens drop. And you walk into that kind of thing. Just walk in the cloud of God's glory and the signs and wonders that come from that That's when the heavens drop. But that happens at the presence of the Lord, and the Lord's presence comes to a people whose attitude has been adjusted and says, Lord, I want to walk in righteousness in your sight, even when I'm alone in my room and I'm entertaining thoughts, that I won't entertain thoughts of bitterness and anger. When those things come up, I will deal with them. Alrighty? But here's the thing I want us to see to follow up on that from Friday. There were other things I said about it Friday, but I don't want to go over all of it. But it says about them, it says they were both righteous in the sight of God. But in speaking about John, who is going to come, it says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in the sight of the Lord, but their offspring was going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And that word great there is the word mega. He's going to be mega. He's going to be a big deal to God in the sight of God. There's going to be a mega presence on him, a mega anointing on him. And that's what I'm going for. That's what we're saying. We're saying we want to come to the place where we're not content with anything less than everything God has for us. That's why revival always starts personally. We don't just keep waiting around for revival to hit the earth. God's waiting around for us to hit revival. He didn't have to be positioned. He's already positioned. We said that last Sunday, the other day at CTK. We said the ascension positioned Jesus for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but it took 10 more days for them to be positioned. So what God's doing now is positioning us so that he can do this work in us. Now, here's one of the things, this is just extra. I believe with all my heart, in this generation, parents who walk in righteousness in the sight of God are going to give birth to children who walk in a mega anointing. We're preparing the way for them. But I also believe metaphorically and spiritually this. If we get God's sequence right and we have a repentant attitude to the point that says, Lord, I want you to deal with me down to my attitudes, down to my private thought life. I'll give you an example. Like last night, something happened yesterday, nobody here, but it happened and it made me feel threatened and offended me. So I just sort of blurted out some stuff to Olivia about some things and just my frustration, my offense. And then, of course, I left the room, came back. It wasn't about her, but she got to enjoy me unloading my stuff into her basket. And so I had to come back later and said, I just want you to forgive me. I said, that's just wrong. She said, I know. I said, I got to get past that. I said, that's a terrible attitude. And eventually the attitude, you know, comes out of your stuff too, your mouth and your behavior. And so just through the evening and then this morning, I came to a place of real release because it was kind of an unusual situation, a special circumstance. So I needed a fresh word from God about things that I've already known, but I need to hear his voice again because I couldn't tolerate that attitude of unrighteousness because it was killing me. And it was sent to destroy what I was going after. And what the Lord showed me through this is that when you walk in righteousness before the sight of the Lord, spiritually, you will give birth. Supernaturally, give birth to a lifestyle that's mega. You hear what I'm saying to you? You want to walk in a mega anointing, walk in a mega presence. You want the supernatural to release that in your life and through your life and ministry. Well, it really comes back to the presence of the Lord and what God's attracted to. This is one of the things he told me in Kansas City. I don't like dwelling in an environment of garbage. He said, you'll know a greater release in a garbage-free environment, Chuck. Garbage in, garbage out. He said, you'll know a much greater release in your life if you'll deal with the garbage, because I don't like living in an environment where there's garbage. I like a garbage-free environment. So we're going after the mega stuff, right? You know? But we got to get God's sequence right. You with me? God's path to walking in the mega isn't just me laying hands on you and you fall down on the floor and go, okay, impartation. Because if you haven't dealt with the issue of repentance and righteousness before the sight of God, in a few weeks, you're going to go right back to where you were. Because God doesn't like hanging out in a garbage environment. Impartations only have a lasting result if you're laying hands on somebody who's already concluded they're going to do whatever radically thing they have to do, even down to the attitude, to walk in righteousness before God. They would put feet to their truth. Truth walking, not just talking. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.